Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk podcast, episode 40. We are here to panic, freak out. We also maybe talk some people off the ledge. We're going to do a little bit of everything today, but first, I got to talk to you. How are you doing, Andrew?
Pretty good. I just want to tell everyone at home, I can see Kevin as we record this, and as the intro song played, we were getting ready to go. Kevin blew into his hands to warm them up like Bill Self. And obviously, he was doing that on purpose to, you know, like seem, try to be cool. Like, oh yeah, before I do this awesome podcast, I gotta be like Bill Self and blow into my hands like Bill Self walking out of the tunnel. So just know that the type of preparation and superstition that Kevin puts into this podcast, it's kind of over the top. I don't know if you noticed me seeing this.
No, I didn't actually notice that I did it. I think it's because I'm freaking freezing. Because I turn off my heat because it makes really loud noises on the podcast. This is the Jayhawk Talk Studios we're talking about here. I mean, we don't mess around with heat. We try to bring you a good podcast. But I appreciate that you saw that. I noticed you didn't say anything about my Kansas Santa hat I'm wearing.
I have one of those too. They are delightful.
Yeah,
they're warm, and then you can wear them around town, and people will think you're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk Kansas fans off the ledge, but first we're going to bring up every terrible thing that I'm sure you're hearing and I'm sure you're thinking, and after the games, panicking and freaking out. We're going to allow ourselves to do that, but we're only going to do it for like a really short amount of time.
Yeah.
We're going to get back to what matters.
But before we do that, let's just take a second and thank everyone who came out to the Johnny's Tavern watch party on Tuesday for the Florida game. It was a pretty good turnout. I think everyone had a good time. There were some good deals, some good drink specials.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that was wrong was the game was not as great as we thought. But thanks to everybody who came. Thanks to Johnny's for helping us out with that. I think we're going to try to do some more of those down the road. Probably not for the 6 o'clock.
No, it'll be an 8 rant. O'clock big right. Monday game, our next one. And we will pick one like Texas Tech or somebody just to make sure we get the swagger back on the Jayhawk Talk watch parties. We're going to pick one that looks pretty winnable, in other words.
Because nothing can kill a Kansas thing than the illusion of a curse.
Right.
Like, it can ruin drinking in food establishments for mm-hmm. people. Like, some people, like me, won't go to Johnny's North in Lawrence to watch a game anymore. Like, I'm sorry, Johnny's North. I won't go. I've seen too many losses there.
Hmm.
And it's obviously my fault that they lost the subsequent ones because I went. I think you have a couple of those, too, that, like, places that are just dead to you.
Yeah, actually, Johnny's proper is one of those for me, too. I watched the UCLA loss there in the Elite Eight. But all the other Johnnies have been good to me, so I'm willing to give this P&L another try.
It's not a chain thing. It's a location.
No. Oh, certainly, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, Andrew, the Johnny's proper location there in Lawrence is a lucky spot for some people.
For somebody, yeah. It's all individual-based.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So wherever you watched the game this last week, like the Colorado game and the Florida game, you should pick a new spot this week.
Yeah. And if you watched at your house, sell your house,
mm-hmm.
get a new house,
right.
Move in before Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I think everybody, well, we're good to go. Like, that's what we need.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sacrifices. And not even sacrifices. Really, you should just burn the place down because it's not working.
Right. And then go to Johnny's. Go to one of the Johnny's to watch it.
Go to one of the Johnny's.
Like I said, I just wanted to say, you know, we want to keep these watch parties going. Nothing can kill a watch party or the idea of this faster than the development of some kind of curse. So we have to end that
mm-hmm.
swiftly and quickly so we can keep having these. Otherwise,
not gonna be a problem.
And we're done. Yeah.
Not going to be a problem. And folks, we just got to get some new people out there. We just can't have people like Ty Gardner there ruining the vibe. Our man, Fake Jeff Withey, but you know, he was there. He's wearing slacks. You can't wear slacks to a watch party. That was the problem, I think.
If you're going to do that, you got to put a jersey on over the collared shirt.
Right. Anyway, so it's all come down to blaming Ty and not Johnny's, because we love Johnny's, our sponsor here. But hey, let's move on. Talk a little panic.
Okay, so this was my idea behind this. I think, you know, at the water coolers today and yesterday and for, you know, past couple days, people have been losing their minds. Talk radio's been kind of like, what's wrong with Kansas? Is there anything wrong? We're going to give ourselves, and I'm going to literally set the timer here, 5 minutes to freak out over this team. By freak out, I mean, like, what do I mean, Kevin? Just lose our minds, yes. Be really negative.
Everything is wrong.
We're going
to basically think about, like, what going to a message board, a KU message board, right after the game. Right
meltdown
after the game.
Meltdown City.
Right. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to allow ourselves to do this. And like Kevin compiled some statistics that I have not even looked at. So I'm probably going to even more melt down. All right. I'm going to count down to five. Kevin's going to play some sort of panic music. And then we're going to go.
All right. Let's do it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Andrew, we can't score the ball. We can't score. Our offense is ranked 97th in college basketball team scoring. We're shooting 31% from three-point range. That's 267th in college basketball. And Andrew, we're 294th in college basketball in threes made per game. We can't shoot the three ball. Any response to that? Are you freaking out like I'm freaking out?
Well, why are we even shooting it? And I don't even get it. I don't even understand the offense. I don't understand the offense. There's no movement of the ball, and it just seems kind of like a random thing. So Frank Mason is our leading three-point scorer. No, excuse me. Is he? He's our third leading scorer. Whatever. He's our third leading scorer. That's not how this team needs to be constructed.
I do know that Frank Mason is open every time at the top of the key to shoot the three, and there's a reason he's open, because they're letting you shoot it, Frank. They want you to shoot it.
So in Little League basketball, the worst thing that could ever happen to you is if the other coach teaches their team the zone defense. Because then you're screwed. If you want to win the third grade championship, you just run a zone defense and learn how to rebound.
It's so easy. Yeah, zone, right?
That's what they're doing against us. This is the third grade YMCA basketball where the other team has taught their kids how to do a zone defense and learn how to rebound. We're one of the tallest teams in the country, and we are awful rebounders.
We can't rebound.
Awful rebounders. We're ranked 100th in college basketball in total rebounding, even though we're one of the tallest teams and one of the longest teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ranked 263rd. This is out of 325 teams in offensive rebounds.
Ugh.
So we're following the third grade plan here of losing to, you know, Dale Willeotto blue team.
Right.
In that. So let's talk about free throws.
We can't make them.
Well, the last game was okay, but we're pretty terrible at it. Andrew Wiggins is pretty terrible at it. Currently ranked 224th in college basketball. So Jamari is the leading free throw shooter.
86% Jamari Traylor. Raise your hand if you would have guessed that Jamari Traylor was leading the team in free throw percentage.
All right, turnovers.
Ugh.
Did you know that we had more turnovers in the first half than made baskets against Florida?
It had to be a lot more.
Yeah, it was a lot more. And it ended up being shots attempted even, I think. Yeah, it was shots attempted. And then at the end of the game, it was more turnovers than baskets made. So
that sounds right.
We give them the ball, just hand it to them more than we even take a shot.
Andrew, we're 270th in the nation in turnovers per game. 270th. That's pretty bad. You know, the point guard play, I don't even know where to start. Is it Nadir Tharp? Is he going to step up and be the guy? Is Frank Mason going to step up and be the guy? He got the start. He
looked pretty terrible.
I'm going to stop
you there. Why? Maybe none of them. Maybe Brandon Green's the point guard.
Brandon Green's the point guard. Let anyone play point guard. I don't even care at this point. Connor, let Connor play point guard.
Connor Ball.
Joel.
Why can't Connor Frankham make a three-pointer? You know, he's only made three all year. Isn't that a specialty?
Yeah, that's what we thought coming in. I've seen him make them in practice and before the game. Get a hand in his face. Jesus. Defense, Andrew. We can't turn anybody over. We're averaging just 5 steals a game. That's 223rd in college basketball. And Bill Self has prided himself on being a top 10 in field goal percentage defense every year. This year, we're not even in the top 100. Andrew, we also foul too much. We are 295th in the country in fouling. That's not very good. Let's not even get started about some individual performers. How about Tariq Black? Where's that guy at? Remember when he was coming in, supposed to be all good, emotional leader, banger, senior leader. Where have you been, Tariq? We're still waiting for you, man. Wayne Selden, you're making me look stupid for saying I was just as excited about you as I was Wiggins. Oh, man. I don't even know. Perry Ellis, where'd you go? It's been a little while.
Did he stay in the Bahamas? Did he stay there?
I don't even know. How close are we? Are we 5 minutes yet?
We are 24 seconds. Do you have any other venting negative thing to say? 19 seconds. We got a lot in this.
I think we got quite a bit in. Yeah, here's one. People wanted Wayne Selden to play point guard. Last 3 games, 1 assist, 11 turnovers. Yikes. Are we there yet?
We are 1 second. And
all right.
Okay.
Whew, that was hard.
Timer is done. So
sorry about that, everybody.
That's all we're gonna allow ourselves to do. To be mad. There. We're kind of done. That was actually pretty weak.
Yeah, it was. Sorry about that.
We could have, if this was like a internet message board, we needed to have like 12 exclamation points following our statements. Yeah.
And like little characters between F and CK. some of those. We didn't have any of those.
So that was our pretty poor attempt at a meltdown. Obviously, we don't feel... These are all statistics. Those are all true things.
Right.
But I don't think that it's as dire of a situation as we may have led you to believe in the past 5 minutes. I think we're still doing okay. So I think this is therapy hour right here. This is the... let's calm our anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a pill, a chill pill, Kevin.
Right.
That's same deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just relax. Let's talk about the future of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's still pretty rosy.
I agree.
But I'm gonna say this: I think that we need to adjust our expectations a little bit, not too far. I think after beating Duke, those expectations rose to astronomical and unsustainable levels.
Agreed.
You agree with that?
Yes.
Where there wasn't necessarily like this undefeated talk, but you were thinking there's going to be very few games that we're going to lose. But that's not what we said at the beginning of the year. We said that early on we're going to go up against some good teams, and we're probably going to lose some because we're really young and we don't really know what's going on. Is that true?
Yes, we are very young.
And so it has that little prophecy come true?
Yeah, I think so. And it's not like we haven't seen this before or we should have seen it coming. I mean, this is basically like 05, 06 all over again, except we haven't even reached that bad yet. That team started 3-4. That was Chalmers and Wright and Rush as freshmen, that team. And then, you know, they started 3-4 and then won 17 of their next 19 games. And I really think that is a legitimate possibility for this team. Once we get, and I can't get here fast enough, but once we get to holiday break, Christmas break, when, you know, it's kind of the running thing every year, but Bill Self teams get better over break and start working together a lot more. And I know it's kind of like this cliche statement that everyone's saying, but it's so true. We're going to be battle tested. Like the next game we see where we get down, it's not going to be like, oh God, we've never been here before. Or next time we go to an arena and people are doing a Canada chant to Andrew Wiggins, it's not like we've never seen that before. Like everything's going to start being like, I don't know, like we've seen it before. It's not a big deal. And we're going to see crazy, you know, arenas in the Big 12 with people going nuts in Iowa State and Oklahoma State, but it's not going to surprise us because we've seen it now in Colorado and Florida, and we've seen the big stage in Duke and some of these other games. So I, you know, as crazy as it is and as as awful as our record may end up being through these this little stretch, and it may get worse, I think in the end it's going to help us out.
But like I was saying, I think we have to readjust our expectations a little bit. And those expectations can't include, or shouldn't include, really, a one seed or trying to get to number one team in the country in the polls. Like, that's not something we should expect to happen, at least not in the immediate future. I think the expectation needs to be for this team is to have them firing on all cylinders and maximized as much as possible heading into March. Mm-hmm. That's got to be the goal. Because I think that if we head in playing excellent as a three seed, you know, a lot of people are going to pick KU to go far.
Yeah,
seeding won't matter. Like, you know, is Wisconsin really a one seed right now? Well, if they were playing today, like, Wisconsin would probably be a one seed.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if you go through your test, go through your battle, go through your conferences and do well, you know, Wisconsin may get that one seed, but a battle-tested and more experienced KU team is going to be more dangerous. So that's what my thought is. Readjust your expectations. Don't, you know, check those rankings Monday mornings when they come out and expect KU to, you know, shoot up to number one. I think it's, is this team getting better the closer we get to March?
Right. No, I agree. And wins and losses will still matter. I mean, that's a thing. It's not, but not until Big 12 play starts. I mean, when Big 12 play starts, if we go, you know, in a Big 12 play and win all but one or two games, there is a chance we'd be a one seed. If you win the Big 12, there's always a chance you're going to be a one seed. So it's not like it's just completely just, we might as well mail it in and, you know, concede our Big 12 season. Because by the time we get there, man, I just feel really good about this team still. Because to me, everything that we've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I want to hear your thoughts here. Everything we've seen that's been bad is fixable, is not just something that's so messed up with this team that it's never going to get there. The one thing that I will possibly concede to you is point guard play. And that's something that, you know, has been a kind of a thorn in our side for the last few years. But everything else to me is fixable. What about you?
You know, you can't fix not being tall enough.
Right.
You can't fix not being talented enough. They have that. And it's just those little mistakes that can be fixed is what we're making. But we're making a lot of them.
True.
So there's going to have to be a lot of work done to get that done. But, you know, going forward, when we put our five guys out there on the court against their five guys, in every game, we are likely to have the best player. And we're likely to have the best two players on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So even against going up against this New Mexico team, which is an older team, you still have Andrew Wiggins out there and Joel Embiid out there. He's the number. He's the other guy you're thinking, right?
Right.
As top guy. So we're going to have the two best players on the floor. And anytime you have that, you're going to be in any game. Now, you may go through an 8-minute scoreless stretch at the beginning of the season, but, you know, there are some positives going forward in knowing that you're going to have the best player. But let's talk for a few seconds about Andrew Wiggins. We don't really have this planned for, but
I can talk about anything, Andrew Wiggins anytime you want to.
The last two games, he's been amazing. Like, we've lost those games. But if he keeps playing like that and everything else develops around him, we're going to be a pretty tough team to beat. The end of the Colorado game, end of the Florida game, he absolutely took over. I mean, it was Kevin Durant-esque. You know, I know that's a dangerous word when talking about these freshman recruits. Like, you don't want to say the word Kevin Durant. But, you know, when he was hitting those threes in
a
row.
That's when I felt it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it felt like Kevin Durant.
When he's just shooting threes over guys from, like, 5 feet beyond the 3-point range, and you're going, what's he doing? Oh, he's Kevin Durant. You know, he's making those. Well,
and even on the defensive end, he's blocking guys' jump shots.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Joel Embiid and Jeff Withey get blocks, you know, down by the basket. He's getting jump shots. He's blocking jump shots on the perimeter, which you never see happen.
I know.
Like, he's just so much bigger. and that they're so surprised by his length, because
that
you don't get your jump shot blocked like that. That just doesn't happen. But Wiggins has gotten two of those in the past three games, and just crazy. So
the thing about him, real quick, I just want to say, I think part of the reason I feel so good about this team still is because he has far exceeded my expectations. And if he is exceeding my expectations, I just feel like everything else is going to come around. And if you have a guy who's literally that good, and I think you and I were pretty careful not to, you know, anoint him that good, but the dude's good. Like, he's really good. And I mean, I he's exceeding what I expected, especially at this point in the season. And if he's going to get better, and we know everyone else is going to get better, like the upside, the ceiling for this team is just so high. And that's why I'm not concerned yet.
So, and another thing is, it's tough to get better as a team. And this is going back to the team, but not being at home.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go basically a month without playing a game in Allen Fieldhouse. So that this Georgetown game coming up a week from Saturday is going to be a welcome relief for everyone. You know, we get to see them in the field house. They get to be back home, get to hear the home crowd. And I think that's going to be really good for the guys. So if you're debating, you know, it's winter break, debating about whether you're going to go or not, you need to go, because this is a very important game.
They need some applause hugs. They need some clapping hugs. That's true, man. It's crazy that we've gone a month, or going to go a month, without playing at home or in the state of Kansas. Like, nobody's doing that right now. Like, no BCS conference team is going and not playing at home this time of year for that long. I mean, it's just, I've never seen it from KU ever. I mean, not even, like, close to this. But, like, this is a thing that teams like Elon and IUPUI are doing to go get a bunch of money. They're not doing, like, KU is the one that's going out and doing it. It's just crazy. But, like I said, it's going to suck right now, because it sucks to suck, but I think in the end it's going to help us out. And one thing Bill Self said after the game is, you know, it's tough playing this kind of schedule with young guys, not just because, you know, there's a chance to lose, but you don't get to win and get to start feeling good about yourself. You know, a lot of the guys are maybe down on themselves a little bit. We've seen that with, like, Wayne Selden a little, and he just maybe lost his confidence. And you can't go out and play Longwood and, you know, get your swagger back, because the next game up is Florida. The next game up is Georgetown and New Mexico. These are really good teams. And so getting your swagger back maybe takes a little longer. The good news is we've got teams like Texas Tech. We've got teams like Texas. We've got teams like TCU. I think we'll get our swagger back. But it makes it interesting with this.
Those don't come for a long time.
I know.
You realize that. Like, this, I do. That's a month away.
But I'm saying, like, and I think the swagger back is just going to happen in practice. I mean, it's really going to have to just come together as a team, people stepping up, and just getting better. And I think a little bit of success will sure go a long way with this team. We need something good to happen to get, you know, some of that back. And I think hopefully it'll come here this weekend against New Mexico.
Well, we've looked forward a little bit, but let's just take a few moments and look back at the past two games that we've had since our last podcast. And of course, those are losses to Colorado and Florida. So let's just talk for a few moments about the Colorado game. So this happened in Boulder. Last second shot. First question I have to ask, did he travel on the last shot?
I don't think so. He did that little Euro step thing. I mean, it used to be a travel.
You Euro step in the lane. You don't Euro step at half.
I know. It used to be a travel. That was a travel 7 years ago. But if he traveled, it was when he caught the ball. It wasn't there.
It didn't change a travel rule.
I know, but now they, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that little Eurostep thing is not a travel anymore.
Eurostep is like to a side type of deal.
I know.
A jump. He traveled, Kevin. He traveled.
No, he didn't.
He traveled.
Didn't travel.
Yeah, he did. Go back and rewatch it. In the court storming atmosphere, that you don't make that call, because as soon as the ball goes in, everyone's rushed on.
There's no way, yeah.
You know, so you can't make that call. So, but anyway, if you're going to be a good team, you can't let that happen.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, I know it's a, I don't know, and I don't mean to beat up on Frank Mason here, but he did, he was out of position on that last play.
Yeah, I don't even know how they got the ball to him in that pass. Like, that was a perfect pass. That pass had to be made just perfect in stride to get down there. Like, I don't, anyway. And then Perry, you know, with 10 seconds left or whatever. Now, here's the question. Were you expecting Perry to get that?
I actually was.
Yeah?
I thought that was a nice play drawn up for him. I thought it may have been Wiggins, but I think that Perry usually is a pretty hot hand when you only need two.
True.
And I thought that I wasn't going to say 100% it's going to him, but I wasn't surprised.
Yep, I'm with you. And I like that they kind of, it wasn't even like an ISO, but he basically just said, go beat your man. And when you give Perry the ball at, you know, on the elbow there, he can make that play. And it was nice to hit, for him to do that, but he hasn't done that at all, like, the last few games, except for that possession. Like, I want to see him do that play more. And same with Wiggins being able to catch the ball there and get in there. But that's because we're seeing a whole lot of zone these days. And that will continue. Let's continue to talk about Colorado if we must.
Let's just run over a few things. Andrew Wiggins scored 22 points and 5 rebounds. Overall, I thought he had a great game, especially in the second half. A couple other notables. Joel Embiid did not start, played 28 minutes, had 10 points, and fouled out.
Yeah.
Which, that'll happen.
That will happen.
Couple other things. Wayne Seldon played 20 minutes. You know, it's not like he's getting the 37 he got earlier in the year. Frank Mason, 34 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know. I don't know why he's getting so many minutes. I don't quite understand it yet. But maybe he's got to keep him in there, got to keep him battling. But all in all, pretty rough way to lose that game. So let's say it does go into overtime. Let's say it does go into overtime. What are our shots at winning that game?
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, it's tough to win in overtime on the road, but we had all the momentum at that point. Had, of course, he missed that shot. I felt good about us. Of course, Embiid was out. I think the story of that game was fouls. I mean, they shot 17 more free throws than us. I'm not saying the whistles were lopsided or whatever, but we got to cut down on fouls, even if chip shot fouls or chippy fouls or whatever. I mean, it's really starting to make a difference on our game. And at the end of the game, if, you know, Embiid's in there, you know, if we get a stop there, maybe, you know, who knows? So that was kind of the thing on that game that really jumped out to me. They shot 17 more free throws. That just is crazy.
Before we move on, one other disappointing thing. Tarik Black, 3 minutes, 3 fouls, no other stat recorded.
Yeah.
No rebounds, no nothing. So
yeah.
Gotta have more out of him.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people saying they want Landon Lucas to get his minutes. I'm not there yet. But
Landon Lucas has been playing really well.
He's been
the minutes
fine, yeah.
He has been getting. All right, let's move on to Florida. This is the most recent game from Tuesday. Mm. Also quite the heartbreaker. Although we did play extremely well in the second half.
We
won by 9. I mean, we scored 40 and they had 31 in the second half.
We rebounded them by a bunch in the second half.
Andrew Wiggins had 26 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, including that awesome jump shot block, which I love that. My favorite.
Yeah, you
thing.
Do.
But obviously the bad part about this game was turnovers and our inability to score as a result of that. You know, we started off the game, I think, pretty well.
Yeah.
Were you feeling good? We were up 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in your head at that point in the game?
Yeah, we got off to a hot start, hit an early three, and I don't know. I just felt pretty good about it. I liked what we did. We were moving the ball and, you know, playing good defense, and then it was like something, like one bad thing happened, and then another bad thing happened, and it just snowballed. And all of a sudden, that 1-3-1 looked like there were 15 guys on the court playing defense against us. And anything that could go wrong went wrong. It was just incredible. And the bad part was, as you're sitting there watching it, you're just like, well, okay, so something will go right. Okay, well, all right, now we've gone 7 possessions and nothing's gone right. Okay, now we've done 12 possessions and nothing's gone right. It just looked like, and you could just see it on self's face, like, what in the world am I watching? Like, it was incredible. And everyone that was at the, you know, at the watch party there was kind of just in shock, I think. And I don't know, it was just literally like we had never seen a 1-3-1 zone before. And we were doing nothing to attack it. You know, the zone is, it's so funny because, like, when you see a zone, or when we used to see a zone, I would be happy. Like, zones are great because you can attack a zone. That's why teams don't play it. Syracuse is like the team that plays a zone, and they recruit to that zone. If you are playing a zone against Kansas, usually, you know, in the past, hooray, this is great. But man, we this team has really, really struggled with it. But it's so fixable. I mean, it's really something that's very easy to fix. It's not something where we're going to run a bunch of set plays. It's really just ball movement, and that's it. I mean, getting inside the zone, not letting the defense dictate you to one side, which is all we were doing in that game. It was so frustrating.
Usually, ball movement's kind of the signature of a Bill Self offense. You can say it's like high low, but really it's reversing the ball, and you know, that works really well against the zone if you can do it. And we just, I don't know what was going on. Couldn't do anything.
It was almost like, okay, we know we're supposed to go side to side, but they were doing it at the top of the key, just back and forth. Like, that's not side to side. You're not making the defense move. The whole point of against a zone is to make them move and collapse and use two defenders on one guy, opening up you know, some lanes. And every time we would actually try to get inside the zone, we really just went to the elbow, went to the corner, and next thing you know, you got a trap. And then we're throwing these lob passes over, and it's all stuff. And this is the thing that makes me feel fine about it. It wasn't like anything we saw other than just not freaking out. Everything is fixable, and it's all stuff that's pretty easy to fix too. I mean, we just got to practice, and that's coming. And anyway, I'm not freaking out about the zone yet.
All right, let's talk about a couple individuals. And then I want to talk to you about the last 8 minutes of the game. First things first, Andrew Wiggins obviously played a bunch of minutes, played 37 minutes. In games like this, you can kind of see who Bill Self wants out there, and you know, he doesn't mess around with the playing time. So obviously he was out there, needed him out there. Went 7-for-15, 8-for-8 from free throws, which is great to see. Mm-hmm. 11 rebounds, 26 points. You know, he absolutely played great in that game. And if you can take anything away from the past two games, is that Andrew Wiggins is the best player in college basketball, I think. Another thing, Perry Ellis, very disappointing game. 24 minutes, only took 3 shots.
Yeah, that's baffling. I don't get it.
4 points. You know, he made two out of the 3, but I'm not sure what was going on with Perry. It's like he was a freshman playing against Michigan State again.
I know. Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. He just disappeared.
I think he had more points in that game than he did in this game, but not really understanding what's going on. Also, kind of disappeared at the end, too, was Wayne Selden. Only played 14 minutes, had 4 points. Just, if we're going to really be an elite team, those guys have got to be on the floor more.
Yeah, and Selden's too good not to be out there. I know Green got a lot of his minutes. I guess the way that Self put it is he wanted someone to go out and bring energy, and Wayne was thinking too much and just turning the ball over, and you know, Brandon came in and played okay. So I get, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I think Self right now is trying to just work with lineups and figure out what his rotation's going to be a little bit, and as Self said, you know, Zeldin's kind of, he's laboring right now. He's laboring. So, but he'll get there, I think. I really do. I believe in his talent. It looks like he's just thinking too much.
All right, let's talk about the last 8 minutes of the game or so. We did make a little bit of a comeback, but it happened in a weird lineup. So Brandon Green brought the ball down the floor I'm going to hesitate to say he was the point guard because he did. They ran the same play every time, and it was the fist play. I think that's what they call it.
Sure.
Where it's they immediately dump it off to the right hand side, and then just start some motion. They've each got different options they can do, but right. A lot of Andrew Wiggins's threes came off of that play. They did the same thing every time. So when Brandon Green had the ball, every time they did the same thing. And I think it, if you've ever seen that Jackie Moon movie, have you seen Semi-Pro?
Once. I've seen it once.
So you need to obviously watch that movie about 8 or 9 more times.
I don't know.
But in this movie, Jackie Moon doesn't really run plays for the Tropics, right? Woody Harrelson takes over as the coach. So he starts teaching them plays, and he teaches them the puke play. And why do they call it the puke play? They call it that because they run it in practice until they puke, so they won't forget it.
They'll
know how to run that play. And so I don't think that we know how to run any play in our playbook or in our offensive sets except for this fist play, because we ran it every time down the floor the last 5 minutes or so.
Well, against a zone, it's harder to run set plays. That's one thing.
Well, I'm just talking any type of set offense.
But because I hear literally, you. No, it was
literally,
the same.
It was the same thing. It was the dump off with the pick along the perimeter, and it was the same movements every time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was our puke play.
Whatever.
So when we're in a pinch, it was working.
It was working.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about it. I mean, I thought Wiggins played great, but the threes weren't what jumped out to me. It was the 11 rebounds. It was him playing just all over the court, being aggressive and not being afraid to shoot the shots late. But I mean, the threes aren't sustainable. He made three long threes in a row or whatever, but he just had ice in his veins. He was the one player on the team that was able to do that when everyone else just absolutely disappeared. So it's good to see. I think Wiggins needed these last two games. If there's anything we see, if you want one guy on the team to not be worried about having confidence, I think it's Wiggins right now, and he's got it. That's a good thing.
So, anything else on this Florida game? Can we use it as a learning experience, Kevin? Is that what
I think so. There's certainly a lot of tape.
Is it a reason to panic?
No, I'm really not there. Here's the thing. If we'd have come out and lost by 30 in that game, which we very well could have done, then I think I'd be concerned. But that second half, we played awesome. And if we even just play just average, I mean, below average that first half, like not even good, not even bad, just not awful, we win that game. I mean, we truly win that game because we played so well that second half. But it was almost like we played as bad as we can possibly play at one point. And then played really well down the stretch. And the way they closed the game, I feel better about the team. I think everybody does. That they didn't let up. Even though they weren't playing well, they still came out and played hard.
All right. So you came up with a list of things that we need to do to get better. This is Coach Kevin's hour. Coach Kevin. Because obviously you're a coach. You're an expert because we do this podcast.
Absolutely.
Right? We're experts.
Sure.
Tell us the 5 keys or so that we need to be working on in practice to get better. And it's not necessarily that. Use these little tips from Kevin to, if we're more successful at these in the game and you're watching and you're noticing it, that means that we're better off. Like, these are the things we need to improve on. Tell us what you think.
And I am an expert. I mean, let's not hold back here.
You skimmed a coaching basketball book once.
I have a coaching basketball book. I did take charges in pickup games. I always take charges. Let's see. Anyway, yeah, a Jardine Middle School A-team starter for 2 years, so that's good. Let's get to the 5 keys to getting better. Number one, and this is one we already talked about, we got to stop fouling. I mean, I think – everyone is still adjusting to this whole, new the way that they're blowing the whistle and everything. And being away from Allen Fieldhouse does hurt, because let's be honest, sometimes in Allen Fieldhouse we get a few more calls than we do on the road. But I truly think for us to be a good team, we got to have Embiid on the floor, and we got to be able to at least match the free throws. And that's, I guess, two things. One, you know, playing better defense and being sound, but two, also not only like stopping them from shooting more free throws, but us getting more free throws. I mean, we've been, that Colorado game was just out of control. Florida the same way. We got to get to the foul line more and cut down on the fouls. Number two, Andrew, we got to have better point guard play. I don't know who it's going to be. Is it going to be Tharp? Is it going to be Mason? Is it going to be somebody else? Right now, it's not good. I do know that much. Mason has, you know, been an awesome player in his role, but his role right now is not point guard. And as much as everyone kind of wants it to be, he's just not. He's not being a creator for his teammates. He can bring the ball up. He's got pretty good, you know, dribble. He's got, I think he's got the ability to pass, but he's still thinking too much, and I think that will get better. Defeating the press, that was one thing between Colorado and Florida we actually did pretty well. Would you agree that the way that we were bringing the ball, especially early on, they started pressuring us, and we beat that press like three times in a row, and they stopped doing it. Did you notice the same thing?
It was definitely better than Villanova.
Yeah,
exactly. Markedly improved, absolutely.
And so that's one thing. I mean, just in one game, you saw a huge difference just being able to break a press, which is something we should just kill. When they press us, this team ought to be able to just murder a press. And we did, you know, a better job at that. We got to continue to get better and really make them pay for doing that. And then attacking the zone defense. We already kind of spent too much time on that, so I won't go too much more into that. Other than to say, we got to get the ball into the middle of that zone, and we have the perfect team for this. I mean, we've got a huge, tall guy in Joel Embiid who should just be able to murder a zone, and we've got Wiggins who should be able to catch it at the top of that of the key and just beat them right up the middle. Which is if you can get someone in the middle of that zone, it changes everything. And really, we should just murder the zone. I don't know about you. I can't wait to see them try to play zone on us in March.
Absolutely.
No,
I'm following you there. And it's a lot of things like that. When you see these things happening and these mistakes we're making, you think about that a lot. Like, only we played them in March. Like, once we fixed these things, like, we're more talented than they are. We just got to get past this initial learning curve.
Agreed. Number four, this one is probably one of the more important ones. We got to be able to handle pressure better when something goes wrong. We can't let one mistake turn into two and turn into three. And this is maybe the one thing that I do feel a little bit of concern about. We just got to have that guy on the team who's going to grab someone by the jersey and say, "Hey, we got to, you know, you got to get your head out of your ass. We got to start playing better." Or, you know, go up and be the calming force, or huddle everyone up and you know, kind of be that Sharon or Tyshawn or whoever it is that's really going to bring the team together, get a tight huddle, say, "Hey, we're better than this. You know, we're going to fix this." Because we don't have that right now. I don't think there's a lot of communication. So we got to be able to handle pressure a little better. And you can't force leadership, but I do think that someone needs to step up. Self wants it to be Nadir Tharp. I don't know if it'll be him or not, but I kind of hope it's Wiggins, to be honest, by the end of the year. Because he seems to be bringing it more than anyone. But anyway, so that's one thing. And then last thing, I actually feel pretty good about this after the second half, but crashing the boards. There was such a difference between that Florida first half and second half. And 50-50 balls kind of goes into that. If we're just playing with energy, even if we're playing bad, we're going to be all right. And that was something that was clearly happened in that second half versus the first half. Do you like those? What are the keys to getting better?
I think Coach Kevin's corner was pretty good.
Thanks.
You just got to tell Bill Self that now.
Yeah, I'm sure he listened to the podcast. So,
he knows what to work on, mm-hmm. what to fix, mm-hmm. what drills to run.
If he wants me to come in with like a whiteboard and I can, you know, throw up some plays for him, I could do that. It's gonna really just involve a lot of squiggly lines and X's and O's, and then just say, "All right, so you go here," and then they'll just kind of follow it, but it probably won't make any sense because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Everything you'll do and will end up being like a recreation of that little Giants play that you
Annexation
always talk
of Puerto
about.
Rico?
Yeah, you talk about that nearly every day. You'll try to turn that into a basketball play.
I try to turn that into everything, like, in my life. Like, I'm going to drive my car on this annexation of Puerto Rico to work today.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about New Mexico real quick. They are a older team, very old. A lot of seniors and juniors on this team. A couple guys to watch out for. Cameron Bairstow, Kendall Williams, and Alex Kirk. Three guys off the team last year. Obviously having a much improved, much better season this year. Bill Self called them maybe the most talented team that we've played up to this point, and it could be true. And most importantly, they've got an individual who's very fond to our hearts,
Marv,
by the name of Mervin Lindsay. He averages 4 minutes a game, half a point a game. He actually has only made one basket.
All right.
One. He's one for one though.
100%. He needs more shots.
Yeah, he's played 16 minutes, one for one. Yeah, two free throws attempted.
I have an over-under for you. Over-under, 0.5 points he scores against KU.
I'm
taking the over-under.
I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I think I am too. But that'd be cool if like they put him in for like to start the game.
I kind of miss Merv.
Yeah.
I kind of miss Merv.
I don't know that he's really that good, but he's kind of funny to look at on the bench. He seemed to bring a lot of
he was hilarious.
Jovial attitude to the
So this is what we get this weekend. The triumphant return of Merv Swerve Lindsay.
Mm-hmm. New Mexico's pretty good, man. They're pretty good. We could lose this game. I don't think we're going to, but we could very much lose this game.
But I heard tickets are still available. There's actually quite a few.
Are you going?
I'm going. I'm definitely going.
Nice.
So get out to your local ticket broker, whoever's selling tickets, and get them, because I think they're going for under face value for a lot of places. You live in the Kansas City area or not, or wherever, get out and get those tickets. We definitely need – it's not Allen Fieldhouse, but we need to kind of give this team a boost with the home field, home court crowd. I heard they changed the court.
Yeah, I saw that. They put a Jayhawk.
Jayhawk, which is nice.
It's nice.
Nice. But so that's where we're at. Kevin, should we panic?
I'm not ready yet.
Okay, so for the folks at home, get a timer out. Let yourself freak out for 5 minutes and then take comfort in knowing that Andrew Wiggins is on this team.
Yeah, and Bill Self coaches it, and things are going to get better. This is a really hard schedule, man. This is a really hard schedule. Number one in the nation, not close. Strength is
not even close. So let's talk about Johnny's gift card. Do we know how we're going to give this gift card away today?
Ooh, no. We should come up with something right now, though. We have $30 gift card on the fly. Andrew, you're pretty good at this. What do you want to do?
Okay. Should we incorporate Merv into this?
Ooh, I like it.
All right. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, the wheels are turning. I can see it.
The wheels are turning. Yeah, I want to do something with a picture. People need to send in pictures.
A picture, your favorite picture of Merv. Send it to @JayhawkTalk. Just find a picture of Merv.
Yep.
Or any picture.
Do a picture and tell us why you love Merv.
And we will choose our favorite of those. And yeah, $30 gift card. To the P&L location is where you need to pick it up, but it is good at any Johnny's. And thanks again to Johnny's for hosting us. It was a lot of fun over there at P&L, and we will certainly be doing that again. Anything else to add, Andrew, before we get out of here?
Just keep going out there and watching these games and watching, you know, keep rooting hard for them. It's a tough schedule, but, you know, I still feel okay. I feel pretty good about this team.
I do too. And I'm usually one. You're the optimist. I'm usually the one that's going to be like, everything's terrible. And I feel good too. I feel good too. Maybe you're rubbing off on me a little bit. I don't know.
I do that to people.
Yeah. Interesting. Let's get out of here. We appreciate you guys listening. Again, feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes. You get the podcast right away when it is posted. You don't have to
hold on. Hold on. You got to be more forceful with that. Feel free to subscribe. You need to subscribe to the podcast. You need to. There's no reason not to if you're listening to it. You just push the subscribe button, and while you're there, see, you got to get angry with him, Kevin. Like, Bill Self isn't sitting there in practice and just, hey, guys,
Andrew,
if you
has
want
his
to.
Mouth, his hand over his mouth right now, like covering up the video.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like he does for the TV cameras, whenever he gets real pissed, he covers his mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So starts cursing.
Bill Self isn't in there like, hey, guys, you should rebound if you want to. Like, I don't know, if you think about it, maybe you guys can rebound. He doesn't say that. So what you need to do is get onto your iTunes machine and click on subscribe and then go down and leave a comment saying like, oh, these guys are so hilarious in that, because it helps us go to the top of the rankings.
You don't have to say that.
Just like the AP poll. No, they need to be involved in this. This is a family at Jayhawk Talk.
No, I appreciate
And then recommend us to your family and friends.
I like it. Hey, thanks, Andrew. That was nice of you to do that. I'm a little nicer with the folks. You know, you kind of come in and do it your way. I do it my way. That's cool.
I don't care. Right, I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I think this is good for the podcast. You know, I'm the nice one. You're the asshole. And then, you know, by the end of the podcast, everyone likes me more. So
you're always like, we're not very good at rebounding.
Whatever.
All right, let's get out of here.
We're getting out of here right now. Thanks again, guys. We'll catch you next time. Rock out.
Every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same
for
the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
This for my J-Hope fans, for my J-Hopes.